نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
This program is for one group of people who embrace all the next Reverend Dr. Malachi of New York and questions and answers.
Who then takes the bits all the body parts and bits and pieces? Is it a physical action that someone removes bits and pieces from and one of the other sticks and then gives it to who? Referring to the same question.
I know what you're trying to say. She says it was them. The average person in here doesn't have seven thrones. But let's say there are five men that control the Bilderberger Society. Bilderberger Society, five men will rule the world. A Ram Corporation. Each one of them have a throne. And each one of them had that throne produce copies of themselves for body parts. They have special doctors that are responsible for keeping them together. Let's say he has face cancer. Have you noticed, at one point, his whole face was swelling up and eating away. If anybody knows something about terminal cancer, they would not be able to just pull it away and patch him up like that. It doesn't work like that. Once it starts to eat the cells away, that's it. You have a very limited amount of time and it becomes inoperable. Now if you look at it, all of a sudden, this whole big mass is gone. Or had this big growth on his nose of cancer. And all of a sudden, you know, he disappears for a little while, goes away, goes in the jaw, comes back to, and it's not there. He no longer has a nose problem. So they have ways now. What they're doing is they have the cell tips they work with. And they have a problem with making it public in America because they have to go into the fetus and take cells in the fetus that can rebuild cells. What I'm saying now sounds crazy, but if you go to the computer, you can investigate it. Cell tips, they call them, and it rebuilds cells. So if you have, let's say, MS, some kind of brain damage, now they have a means by which they can take out of a baby's fetus cells, inject them into your brain cells, it'll cling on and begin to reproduce fresh blood cells, actually regrow cells. But it's, the conflict is every time they do that, they have to eliminate a baby. They have to kill a baby. So now they're trying to take control of Africa and other countries where they don't mind eliminating babies in order to sustain their life. Ugly is a sad truth, but it's the truth. So, like, say the Anunnaki and beings of that caliber had clones. The ancient Egyptians had clones. The so-called pharaohs had clones made themselves. So that in the event that during their life they suffered from some type of terminal disease, the alchemists could immediately replace that. There was no fear of rejection because they replaced it. They only, 6 to 8 weeks determines whether or not your blood is going rejected. There was no fear of that. And that's what he means when they say they, they're talking about those physicians. And in the, let's say in the time of Zuza, the physicians would be under Amenhotep. That was his high priest. And beneath in the time of Tutankhamun, it would be I. The high priest would be I. He had a bunch of men under him, which were called the royal guard of Amun-Ra. And they were high priests. They would sometimes see them depicted in artwork with an Islam on, a simple white robe, bald head, no hair. They shave all the body. Anything was bacteria attractive, they didn't have any more pure white robes all the time. They always show them in any book you read on Egyptian, they show you these men. They call them wabs or priests in ancient Egypt. Well, these men knew the sciences. They were like scientists. They knew about the embalming. They knew about cloning. They knew about alchemy, altering molecules. They just were learning. They got their knowledge from beings who came from beyond the stars here, which sounds crazy in America until when we speak of beings coming from beyond the stars. It sounds like it's crazy until you talk to a Christian in America and you say, where did Jesus come from? And they go, huh? You say, well, where did Jesus come from? According to your Bible, Jesus said, I am from above, you are from beneath. Jesus said, I come down from the Father. As long as you're talking UFOs and you keep it in that terminology of UFOs, it sounds crazy. But when you turn around and just say, let's get for real, where did Jesus come from? They'll say, before he came to earth, he had to have been someplace. If you say he came, they'll say, well, Jesus came from heaven. The next question is, where is heaven? The definition of heaven, of course, to them is up there. Up there, where? Up there somewhere. Okay, good. Then you don't know exactly where he came, but you do know he came from up there. Then you are admitting that he came to this earth from some other place where he lived. Did he have a seat beside his father there? They'll say, well, according to the Bible, of course, Jesus sat on the right side of his father while up there. So there are seats there. Were the angels there, the heavenly hosts? According to the Bible, there were heavenly hosts there. And these heavenly hosts, were they nude or did they wear robes? Or when Jesus appears in visions or when the Blessed Mother Mary appears in visions, they always are garbed in white robes, etc. So they have robes there. Yes, when you read the holy books, it speaks about paradise and the fruits of paradise and the pure water of paradise and the gifts that we're going to get when we get to heaven, which are very similar to the things we already have here on earth, but they are supposed to be tarnishless. But slowly but surely, we're being confronted with a reality that there's a place somewhere there where they go, a specific place. And in that place, there's seats and people talk. Because in fact, in Genesis chapter 3, God is walking in the garden talking. Well, either God was talking to himself when Adam and Eve heard them, or it says, they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So he was actually moving about. So what was he doing? Talking to somebody. A group of people, because they heard him. But you wouldn't hear him if there was no concrete, he didn't have no clips on his shoes. You wouldn't hear him. They were walking around in sandals on sand. You won't hear nobody walking on sand in the cool of the day. So they must be having a conversation. Who was God talking to? Other beings that are on his equal or beneath him or above him. They have to be in one of those places. They have to be either higher than him, equal to him, or beneath him. But whatever it is, there's other people there. If there's a seat on the right side, only the reason you would mention having a seat on the right side is because there must be a seat on the left side. So if Jesus is sitting on the right side because he's good, then on the left side sits Satan. But Satan can't be there no more because Revelation 12 says Satan was thrown out of heaven and can't come back no more. So there's an empty seat on the left side. But as you add these ridiculous little things together that sound like mumbo jumbo, they come down to a reality that there is a place where Jesus came from. And there's a place that Jesus wants us to go to. And he says, where I am, you may be also. But the point is, if he says that where I am, you may be also, if we go and look at that literally, he's saying, I am somewhere and you're over there. And I want you here. And to find out where that is, we simply go to the Lord's Prayer. Where is that here? Well, Jesus said, I want you to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. So now he's separating himself from earth beings and saying there is a heaven and our Father is there. You follow? We have to do that. If we take it from the religious and just blindly go by faith and say, well, you know, I'm not going to address these final points, then we're not worthy to be there. Simply because it says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So we're supposed to know these things. Otherwise, God would have never put them in the Bible. He didn't want us to find them. He never gave us the intelligence to find them. He wouldn't give the heathen the intelligence to rage. Because God controls all the intellect in the boundless universe. So if someone speaks against God, God allowed him to do it for a specific reason. He wants that question raised. He wants that doubting Thomas to exist. Because by doubting Thomas, he can confirm the truth. If there's no doubting Thomas, how do I get to the truth if I don't have somebody saying, well, I know God personally. And then some guy in the congregation says, you don't know God. God arranged both of those situations. The cook who says, I know God personally, and the guy that says, you don't know God. He says, yes, I know God. Well, where is God? Oh, God's in heaven. He talks to my heart. Okay, now the situation changed. God talks to your heart. God talks to everybody. I thought you meant that you knew him personally, like I know this guy, and he talks to me like me and him sitting in the bar having a beer. That's a big difference. It's left like that. So when he's making reference to they, he's speaking of a place where beings are. And those beings walk and talk with God. And they're called the heavenly host. In fact, one man in the Bible called Enoch was so good that God didn't even let him die. It says in the Bible, God translated him and took him to himself and took him to himself. And Enoch didn't even die a mortal death. So now Enoch in the Bible didn't die a mortal death. Then he was still in a physical form. And if God took him and translated him out of this planet somewhere, he went there in what? A physical form. If Elijah in the Bible, teacher of Elias, took a chariot to the heavens physically, they saw him go up into the sky physically, then what? There must be some place up there where people meet physically. If Jesus ascended before the disciples physically, and they watched him, as they say, in the Bible, go through the clouds. Correct? That's what it says in the Bible. You can change the Bible to make it suit your religious belief, but if you want to stay literal, it says Jesus went up through the clouds and his disciples watched him disappear in the clouds. He was in physical form. This was not from the cross, what they call it, when he saw the spirits of Elijah and he saw the spirits of Moses and he had that transfiguration, as they call it. To transform one figure to another. They said he was illuminated, but he was still physical. Because in order for you to be illuminated, you must have some filament. You can't light a light bulb without a filament. You need that filament inside there to get the light. Now, when the light comes out the bulb, it appears to be something intangible. But if you trace the light back, it cuts back to that bulb, cuts back to that filament, cuts back to those wires, cuts into that force, cuts into that electricity, which is physical. So there are beings there. We have got to come into that reality that there are beings with God. Whether we want to call them angels or by whatever term that makes us feel good, if you want to call them extraterrestrials, if you like the color green and you call them little green men, that's your brother. That's your individual choice as long as you do acknowledge that there are beings with God. Now, in Africa, they may choose to acknowledge all of these beings and give them all separate names. And then we as Christians may look at them and say, that's paganism. And then they'll say, well, what about the saints? Well, we'll say, well, that's different. I'll say, what's the difference? You got God the Father. We say, that's right, Heavenly Father. And Jesus, the Son of God. We say, that's right. And the Blessed Mother Mary, they go, that's right. We say, and the Holy Ghost, we go, that's right. And they say, well, that's four. We say, no, that's one. That's three in one, that's Trinity. They'll say, no, you may say it's three in one because that's what you want to be, but when we... in Africa, break our gods all up into a whole bunch of gods, and then we say, all of them are one. So if you go talk to an ancient Egyptian, he will say, all the gods come into one god, Atum. Right? He say, well, there's Amun-Ra, and there's Bethlehem. He'll say, yeah, but all of them are qualities of the one God. If you talk to a Muslim, you'll say, Allah is one. He say, well, he has 99 names. He'll say, yeah, well, all these are attributes or qualities of this one God. You see where the trick is coming in? Once we get into the reality that we are at the third level of manifestation, that there's a higher level of beings, and then between us and those higher level of beings, there's angelic beings, and then it comes down to us who are physical and angelic beings. So when beings came to this world, they had to be assured that their mission would be completed. So they had people that said, we're going to keep his body intact while he does this mission. So they made duplicates of him. And it sounds crazy today, but if I told you about a television on your wrist 10 years ago, you would have laughed. If I would have told you it was putting frozen food inside of a little box of electricity and pushing mint buttons, and in 3 minutes you have a meal, I would have told you that 45 years ago, you would have thought I was crazy. If I would tell you it was going to be cloning people, you would have thought that was insane. All those things that appeared to be insane yesterday are realities now. Bringing people back to life. You have people who died in the hospital, the doctors come in, there's no blood circulation, there's no pulse, the person is legally dead, the doctors walk out the room, pull the sheet over the patient's face. You mean they're making a death report, come back in, the person is sitting up. They say I had a near-death experience. The doctor say, near my butt, you were dead. But how do they present that to the medical society? Where there is no rules in the books for people who die and come back. Simply because this society haven't got that far as to mesh medical and religion. Because they won't marry the two, they don't leave room for those things, so they'll say, well, maybe they were dead. The person said, well, let me tell you something. I was floating around the room and tell people what they saw them doing during the period that they were laying there supposedly dead. They got to do what, well, we can't explain that right now, but we're sure in time we'll have an explanation. Well, of course. In time they had television. I was living when there was no television. There was no thing about human beings walking around on a screen. My mother sitting right here, she was living when Jesus was living. You always good to have a parent around that makes you feel young. Even if you're old. Some of us folk in here were living when things didn't exist that you take for granted. Like the children today, the reason why the children are crazy, because they have what's referred to as an instant replay life. You know what that means? Years ago, if we wanted to watch Joe Louis and them box, we all stooped down in front of a radio, and everybody listening while the man narrated. We didn't see them on television, let alone miss them and program a machine that catches the fight while I'm out somewhere else. I come back in and go pimp and watch the fight. Was that possible when you're legit? No way. You want to know what's wrong with the children today? The children today have this concept that life can be stored and picked up later. So when you're talking and say, listen, you got to get your life together now, they're going to come. He said, whatever you're going to do with your life now, you better start doing now. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, nigga, I'm talking straight up, nigga. You better start studying right now. So you got to get a couple dollars to go to the party. Tomorrow's Monday, nigga. You got to go to school. Mm-hmm. They know that they can get videotapes or what they call it when kids can't read this thing now. Hooked on phonics. The only hook on phonics we got was our grandparents hooking us upside the damn head because we didn't study. Wasn't about going out to the movies on Saturday until your room was clean. These kids got everything on instant replay. And until we destroy that system, we'll never be able to change the children. So I'm saying the things that appear to be abnormal today are going to be every day. I mean, talking to dead people is going to be as simple as knowing your relative's telephone number to the other side. You say, well, Uncle So-and-so died 3 or 4 months ago, and he was a hell of a carpenter. And I'm trying to build this project, and I don't know what to do. And you say, well, his father said, well, my brother, oh, shit, his number is, you know, let's be good, 777-777. You know, I'm going to say, 777, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. How you feel? How do I feel? I'm dead. How am I supposed to feel? How you feel? You're the one with all the aches and pains. So that might be a sense of humor from the other side. It ain't funny. I'm sitting there with a toothache. You with me? How do you know that that's not going to be as normal as turning on a TV? How do we know that? Because a stealth plane, a holder jet, on television last week, they were showing a plane that goes up like this, boom, and takes off. Right? Before, all we know was thrust. Thrust was it like, Figure out a way to throw the thing. Now it goes up in the air and goes, boom. The United States is saying, tag, if we would have had these back in the First World War, you know, we could have ended that butt. And System and Time says, but you didn't. But don't doubt the possibility of talking to spirits on the telephone. Don't doubt anything when you live in this day and time and you see the technology that exists today. You understand? I was just driving along with a young fella, and he got this detector for radar. I don't have one in my car, you know. I didn't think about it. I said, what's that thing? So what's that? He says, you know, see the box over there? I said, yeah, one box says somebody else got one. Somebody got one what? When he said, yeah. He's telling you that somebody came with one? Said, yeah. Then with another direction, I said, what's that? He said, someone's activating a microwave oven. I'm like, we sitting in a vehicle driving along 127. And somebody's cooking their food in their house and we're seeing it in the car. You mean tell me them frequencies are in the air like that? Because of microwaves? Oh yeah, this air, if it fills up, that means the police is there. The whole screen fills up, that means the police is there. So I can watch the books. I can see it all I know. I didn't know this, you know. I'm talking, this is today. All you guys are like, you didn't know? No, I didn't know. Like, I could be, all the time I've been getting taken by these cops, I could have one of them and be over there. Y'all young folks take for granted sometimes. We old folks miss stuff. Because we don't even know. Unless you come and tell your pops, yo, pop, guess what's new? Your mom, I'm sitting in my room watching black and white television. You know? Sometimes I let alone 3D TV. Things they got out now with 3D, man, they got movies on the internet where you don't even have to go to the cinema any longer. Yeah. Don't doubt anything because that's a tactic of the devil to make you unprepared for God's power. By making you think that it must be within the power of man to be real. And if God's power surpasses man, God can make things happen and does. And there'd be no inventions or no creations or nothing if God didn't put the thought in the minds of people. No, Einstein was dumb as heck. Now, you know why I say that? Because as smart as he appeared to be, he smoked. But when he was smoking, they hadn't gotten to the point yet where they realized how much cancer damage he was doing to himself. But every time they show you Einstein is supposed to be such a genius, he's got a pipe in his mouth. He's, I'm saying, this guy invented the atomic bomb, you know, altered molecules, and he didn't figure out that he was killing himself with cancer. See, they plan a plan, and God plans a plan, and God's the best to plan this. Because of how intelligent he appeared to be, he was stupid when it comes down to something that simple. That we, or they, sister that you was asking about, is pertaining to beings that protected. Today they got them too. But we don't have it. We don't have that privilege or that luxury. I mean, you get hit by a truck out there, you know, that's it by a bus. But those rich folks up there, they got body parts. They got to force themselves to die. Some people just live on. You know, they got some people like Bob Hope. Bob Hope is older than Santa Claus. I hate to talk about our own late President Carter. Carter's jumping out of planes at 80. Anybody who jumps out of a plane knows your body is not equipped to jump out of no plane at 80. You can't even jump off the toilet at 80. So he must have conditioning.
What I was going to ask is, do these bodies that they've got, are they in
stasis
or are they living and they just pick them up off the street or something?
I like to say they pick them up on speed. That sounds like a movie. I like to work with that. No, once they clone these bodies, they speed up their cell growth, they put them in a suspended animation. They have what's called cryogenics. Right? Now, the thing that's wrong with cryogenics is the brain cannot be reactivated. It turns to mush once it's frozen. But they've proven that most other organs in the body can be revitalized. But the brain, once you lose that brain contact, which is that oversoul you're talking about, so they're not concerned. So if a president has brain damage like Kennedy, when they shot him, he still lived on, you know, NASA's island for a long time, but he was in a wheelchair, he was brain dead. So they really couldn't bring him back to the forefront of politics. So he just lived his life out there in Greece. And Jacqueline pretended she married Onassis, and that's how the story went. Didn't stop because now everybody's eyes like, what the heck? I just realized what I'm saying is new to some people, just by the look on your face. I know you're going to think Kennedy died, you know. Okay, you did. All right, what else? Anybody got a question? Yes.
Is there a cure for sickle cell?
Yes, there's a cure for everything, including death. And you may not believe it, because I'm hoping you young people hear me. There's a cure for everything. The thing is, how long do you want to live? Right now you think you want to live forever, right? Right? But if you was Bob Hope's age, would you want to still live forever? Let's look at it this way. Now that they're on the borderline of communicating with the dead, and now has been confirmed by certain scientists that there is some form of life after death. Correct? Now they have all these psychics out there that are proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have the ability to communicate with the dead. Well, that's what it appears to be. Ask yourself, what happens once you know for a fact that when you die, relatives who passed away to bring you over? Think about it. How many times has any and every one of us decided, I'm fed up with this life, I don't want to live no more? Don't lie, because everybody pretend you ain't got a little understanding is crazy. Almost everybody out here at one time or another got fed up with life and said, I just had it. You follow? But you're too punky to commit suicide. You thought jumping in front of a train was going to hurt. So you're still here giving us a hard time. But suppose you knew, beyond a shadow of doubt, suppose you knew that once you pass, that your relatives, your greats are waiting for you, and they got a hand stretched, and they take you into a new world. Suppose they did this by communicating with you before you passed. You know what I'm saying? What would happen? For one, when an officer says, pull over. Think about it. Pull over. You say, get out of the car. Excuse my English, but I'm saying what you're saying. No, I'm not getting out of the car. I'll shoot you. Whoa. you know, big deal. What about that time when all the bills, you know that time, right? And even those bills that we thought we were getting away with because they didn't give us the bill, so we was running that telephone up and they never come and we like, they forgot about me. And then just when we were on Dubad Street on the corner of Ain't Got Nothing, in come this bill for $300 or $400, you know, for the telephone company, oh, this is a back bill for so-and-so, you're like. And then you get frustrated and you say, dang, get someone to put it over the fridge and take a bail and kill over the fridge and more fly out. I ain't got no money to buy no food. So I'm going over my girlfriend's house. Let's go over my girlfriend and the guy says what? You know what I'm saying? I just get down, go downstairs and go for a drive just to chill downstairs. It says empty. Hell, I'm just going to get some. I don't want to live no more. Don't say you haven't been to that road before where you don't want to live no more. But if you had a confirmation that everything is going to be all right, this world would be a different place. The way people get in arguments, there would be no such thing as road rage. There'd be road incidents. That's all. Get out of the car, put it down. Get out of there, I got you, thank you. And we're near that now. We're near that state of mind right now. We're starting to accept just by the technology. You know what I'm saying? Communication. Oh, they already passed life on other planets. But who are they saying 20 years ago if I said there was life on Mars? You're crazy. Now they found life on Mars. Life on Jupiter. Not life on one planet, but life on more than one planet in our solar system. They found tri-star constellations, systems with three suns. Go on the internet, go look it up. Things that they say is impossible have become possible. So life after death, which has always been based on faith and belief, is no longer simply faith and belief. It's now possible and bending towards probable. And to some, confirmed. You with me? How will that affect us as human beings? So, to answer the question,
They have gotten to the point where they realize now we as a people are developing spiritually to the point where we know there's a life after death. That we know that there is a really a Jesus Christ. That we know there was really angelic beings. Whatever name you use and whatever language you speak, whatever country you're influenced by is now what's important. The reality is important. We know it's real now. And our attitude towards life is changing. Our attitude towards work is changing. Our attitude towards people are changing. You follow that? And we're in that day and time now where anything is possible. Tomorrow, we can flick on the television and pit to tell us something we never even imagined before. You follow what I'm saying? So we're at that period of time where life and death are becoming one. And the system is afraid to face the reality of in what direction our minds will start to elevate. Will we become gods? And does that change the definition of God when we become gods? You follow? When we reach to that level of God, the perfection in God, being his children, does God then raise to a higher level? And does that start another journey? Or does that end it? Or is that the beginning, and was this a path towards a beginning? All these questions become something to talk about. Years ago, it was simply, is there life after death? Is there heaven or hell? Does God really exist? Is God there? Was Jesus a real person? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I explained to y'all, I explained to y'all before, you have two Jesuses in the Bible. I don't mean two Jesuses. We know there's three characters. I'm talking two births of two Jesuses and two Marys in the Bible. You know? People don't want to hear that. No, no, no. My Mary is my Mary. I say, well, which one? The one that had a child in a manger, or the one that had a child under a date palm tree in the desert? What are you talking about? That sounds crazy. Well, in Matthew's and them, they speak of the birth of a child in a manger, in the presence of wise men. In the book of Revelation, they speak of a child born under a date palm tree in the wilderness with dragons waiting to kill it, which is true. Or they're both true. They'll say, well, that's the mystery of God. I don't want the mystery of God. God said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make thee free. I don't want the mystery. I want the facts. If you can't give me the facts, step down off the pulpit and let somebody who God inspires stand up there. Let somebody who has the answers be up there and get down. Stop the preaching and start the teaching. Stop trying to be a good person and just be a good teacher. And let people become good people themselves. Because what you are, you are. What you're going to be, you're going to be. Whatever is in, blown in you inside the tree, whatever that thing is going to fertilize this ground, enough, something's going to grow through here. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. I may not see it through. But saying, but something's going to grow there. Every person here is a God in the making. And for no other reason than God said, I put my spirit inside you. God's spirit will be no more than a seed, because it wouldn't be God. I put my spirit in man, and man became what? But what's the catchword in between that? Man what? Became. He grew into. He changed into. He metamorphosized to become. I put my spirit into man, and man became a living soul. See, but we got God's time and our time mixed up. We're taking became like past tense. We're still becoming. Because we're not a living soul yet, are we? What are we? We are a living body. Are we not? Now, check back some of you younger folk. Your grandparents, your grandfather. I used to put my grandfather's jacket on and I was buried in it. He wore like a 48. Grandma had hips. Half these women had like little string beans. Half of the men here, we ain't got shoulder span no more. We were about anywhere from a 40 to a 42. And that's man size.
It's a man boy section for men's size.
Women are buying their role at a children's section. Are we metamorphosizing? Are we becoming smaller as human beings? Yes. Just check some history. Check on what size shoe your grandfather wore. 15s. Average man now is wearing a 10, 9.5, 11 the most. over 15 crawls on up. Are we changing? Yes. What are we becoming? We're becoming less physical and more mental. You talk about little midgets and little grays. We're almost there. Kids born out of these big old heads. Ain't too many little kids whose head match their shoulders. They're toting these big old tank heads. Something is changing. Kids' eyes are bright, born. When I was a child, kids wasn't born with hair. Kids wasn't born with nails. They had to wait 2 to 3 weeks before they got nails. Remember that? Now kids come out full, nails, some with teeth. Is this not a fact? I mean, we learned to grunt, you know what I mean? Pull, crawl on one leg, then crawl on two, then move around and stuff, and then get up and stagger and fall. Children now come out and do this. They're walking. What does that mean? That means God's plan is still at work. We're behind time. Misinterpretation. People not looking at the word of God. That's why I said in the beginning was the pay attention to the words of God, not the sentences of God. You can't even get past God's words, and here you are trying to interpret his sentences. Let's do it word by word. God breathed a breath of life. Got that? Into man. And man became a living soul. If we're now still a living body, we don't become a living soul until the body is dead. That's the path we're on. That's the journey we're taking to become a living soul, a conscious soul. And that's the reward. The reward is to pass out of this physical body and yet still be conscious. There are lost souls. There are people that die, as they say, and have no spiritual connection. They're gone. Some people don't dream. Some people don't dream. Some people don't dream in color. This is real. They don't have no spiritual connection. And when they pass, that's it. This is as far as they're going. Because they'll never make it to the state of a living soul. Man became a living soul. You may say, well, became is past tense. Past tense in our time or God's time. Because it says in the Bible, what? One day to God is like a thousand years. So his idea of past tense and our idea of past tense is a great difference. What is the journey then? What is the path we're on? Huh? To become a living soul. And what happens when we become conscious of that? We become in tune with that reality that we're becoming a living soul. And we accept that reality. Then what? Then we're God. We talked about that. It's in Wizard of Oz. The journey led to a little person behind a mask pretending to be God. You realize that's why they're mad at you and I? You know, that's why they're mad at Nuwabians, Nuwabs, or whatever they call us in the camp. You know why? Because they say, he says he's God. And they don't realize they're quoting something in the Bible. When a priest said to Jesus, we're going to stone you because you say you are God. And Jesus said, is it not written in the law? I said, ye are God. They still tried to stone him. They don't like us because of our consciousness. Our connection with God. The reality we're starting to say, we are children of God. The Bible says God has children. And the sons of God saw the daughters of man. So, if there's sons of God on earth, and there's daughters of men on earth, who are the daughters of men? And what is their destiny? For the sons of God, destiny is to return to the bosom of God, to be with, as, and of God, to be one with God. That's our path. So there's some other people walking around the planet. Whose children are they? Huh? Children of the devil. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, I put iniquity between your seed and her seed. And we're her seed. We're even Adam's seed. So the devil has us. People are walking next to you. Walking with you. Eating at the table with you. Working with you. Flying next to you on the plane. Sitting next to you in the car. You don't even know this fool got marijuana. He didn't tell you that when he got in the car. He knew it because he purchased it. He knew it was illegal when he got in the car with you. But he didn't have the time to tell you, I've got this marijuana with me and it's illegal. Because he knew doggone well, he said, you get it on my car. Then police pull you over and police said, let me get dollars. He better drive like this. Said, police, this fool yells out. Why are you pulling over? This fool got the marijuana. You don't even know. I said, let me shut up. They searched him, and next thing you know, you're in jail. The way he said, man, they just messing with us. Man, this is racism. Man, this is harassment. Man, that was the devil sitting next to you. Now, you're looking for the devil to be white. That would make you feel so comfortable, so convenient to say, oh, all white people are the devil and all black people are God. Crap. If you believe that white people came from black people, then you believe the devil was black before he got white. If you teach that black people existed on the planet first, and archaeologists, paleontologists, and everybody agrees with that, right? Then if the white man is bad, he came out of you, then bad came out of you. So now who be the father of the devil? Who that is? Talk real. Who it is? Came out of you then, right? You want to face that reality? Can you tell the truth about yourself? Or can you only tell the truth when it's others? When the black Muslims want to stand up and say, all white people are devil, and all black people are angels. Crap! I got some uncles I know the devil. Now, by God, uncles saying about me, I know that nigga devil. But then, the end will reveal that. But it's inside. The devil's walking with you every day. I'm trying to give you a message. Y'all who are aspiring here to become one with and as and of God, be on your guard against the nearest person to you. Smiling faces tell lies. Or what? The backstabbers. Watch out for that best friend. You understand? Anybody who wants to be your best friend has a purpose. Friends are not something you pick up along the way. Friendship comes from trust. How many people had people they thought were their friends and stabbed them in the back? I should say, how many people didn't? Because I know 99% of us did. And I trusted that person. And I would do anything for that person if they stabbed me right in my back. But you know what they tell you about a snake? Huh? You knew he was a snake when you picked him up. See, most of the time, that friend was the friend who had the connection. Or the fancy car. Or knew where all the pretty girls hung out. Knew how to get in the party. That friend had all the connections, and that's why you cling to that friend. That friend had the delicacies of the harlots around him or her. That friend had money all the time. I like hanging out with him or her. They knew all the sharp places to go and the best restaurants. You hear me? Now, when I posted that way, I put down my God. G-O-D. I put down my God. I became off God. And that's why I got stabbed in the back. And that's why I got betrayed. And that's why I got hurt. But if I stay on that one path of reality and face reality that tomorrow anything can be said. And it might open up tomorrow and say,
Remington wasn't no nigga. Nobody blaming us for the guns on the street. You made it. And fought. Cowboys are tough guys because they can walk down the street and whoever gets their gun first is a good guy. So you taught people to go out and kill people. Kill each other, too. And they're still teaching it today. While they're saying it's wrong, you can go to the Matrix and watch them kill people. Now they got cartoons killing people, killing each other. Demons and starballs in the cartoons. But they don't want prayer in school. A boy can walk into school with a comic book called The Demons of Hell and Starballs, but if he has a Bible, the teacher tells him, don't open that Bible. You better don't have a problem. We got a problem with faith. We got a problem to solve. The only way we're going to solve it is where? Right inside here first. We got to solve it amongst ourselves first. We got to realize what we're up against. We got to realize that every time we turn on a television program, we are being programmed. And so is his people. But the difference is, they're the seed of the devil. As Christ said, and he's a liar and a killer since the foundation of the earth. And they don't want you to keep that. The devil is a man. They want you to think the devil is off the hot dog box. And he's a little red fella with a pitchfork, with horns. That's what they want you to think the devil is, when the devil is on the train with you every day. And you see the devil in you. You watch that mean, malicious, racist side. But no one can see you sometimes. You literally find yourself saying, what happened to you? And he said, What the hell do I do to you? You, children of Adam, condemn me to hell. And I want to thank. We have condemned him since the foundation of the world to hell eternal, and now he hates us. And now we get mad when he does that thing. And see them looking like, you don't really know, huh? I'm the devil. I'm supposed to do these things. You stupid. You go down there and get all dressed up in the morning. You're the first one in line. You got all the credentials necessary. And you're going to get your job. You done graduated. Kissed all the butts you could. Did everything you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? And there's a list of people waiting, and you waiting, and just like, you know, I'm stressed, right? Go in there and they say, sorry, ma'am, you are overqualified. So, yeah. Can a person be overqualified to do something? Can a chef be overqualified when he's cooking the food? Can a doctor be overqualified when he's so far killed the patient? How can I be overqualified to operate a computer? All I have to do is just go push the button and I'll be qualified. You're overqualified at one job and underqualified on the other job. And you walk out and say, hey, what's going on around here? And you're not stopping saying, devil. Come in, you know when you say it's devil, when you come home and see your brother all beat up by some old crazy guy. And he said, he pulled a gun. He said, my brother don't mess with him. My brother goes to choir. He goes to church every Sunday. My brother is a Bible coaching fanatic. He don't carry no gun. He's a crazy Muslim. He don't care about you. He doesn't care about the car and staying on the club. He's beat up. There's some old crazy cop there where he pulled a gun on you. And you don't believe. But there's nothing you can do about it. And you look at that face of that man who was shot those Jewish kids. And he looked up at the camera and smiled. Did you see him? He smiled. And you want to call that a man? That's devil. You better get back to reality. Walk in, you got a little comfortable around him. You started letting God start mistaking the devil. The devil is about him. Devil is him. He's moving through the world. He's more prominent now than he's ever been. Thank God. Last, I think it was 4 months ago. That's right, Andrew, incorporated in 1966 in California, and who gave the title? Ronald Reagan. The president incorporated the state of church. Don't believe me? Check it out. Go look it up, and let it blow your mind to heaven. They have concerts right here in Georgia on the military base because they have satanic rituals to the death society. In the military base, going to meet 4 months ago. Everybody see that program? See, men with guns who are supposed to protect us are putting down the Bible and picking up things. That's right. By the way, Gatlinburg, Tennessee, 3 years ago, they raided a big party. big pentagram. They said, no, that's a sure symbol. Now, yeah, right, that's a sure symbol. A sure symbol is the very pentagram. No problem about it. They need our blood for their ritual to conjure up their disembodied souls who are attracted to the blood. Don't you remember in the Bible? What they say, God smells the sweet flavor of the burning offering. They put a goat on an altar because the goat in the Bible represented Azazel, which is the devil's real name. Hear me? They call him the scapegoat. And they had two rituals they would do. They would drive a scapegoat to the edge of a cliff in the village and push him off. And it represented putting evil out of his mouth. But the priest, that's the bad for you. But the priest would take the same goat and put him on the altar and cut his neck. And let the blood of the goat sprinkle down the altar and then burn the carpet. And they said, God liked the way the blood smelled. That's in your Bible. Also, something we do in St. Thomas' culture. They're always talking about drinking blood. And they say the best blood is the blood of pure, innocent, virgin children. And it's all over the media. They tell you what they do. And they don't want us to set up on this land and protect our families because we will be from that surviving group when they are planned to eliminate our people. Only eliminate us. No, they can't live with us no more. We don't comply. We stop tap dancing. When's the last time you see the niggas tap dancing? I hate to say it, but when Sammy Davis Jr. died, a certain kind of black man died. We ain't doing that. Don't. And the new mind that came in with the young hip-hop mind, he quickly changed from break dancing to breaking hip. Hardcore, gangster rap, and scared hell out of them. So he made Puff Daddy sweet soft thing come in there and change it around. To pull the guns out of the kid's hands. He was scared. Because he knew that he might just stand on the corner field. And they walk on by and decide, I'm just going to put my foot on the butt for what you have done. The devil, he's only afraid of you. He's afraid of this unity. He's afraid of us coming together. He's afraid of the power that we generate when we get together. As we become in one accord. We start focusing our mind on anything. We start chanting on that thing. We start happening. It happens in service. It happens in mosque. It happens in all religions. And God, I don't know whether you're Christian or Muslim. Muslims go into ecstasy as two reasons. Christians go into the Holy Ghost. Same power. It's not that. The power is in you. But God said what? I bring my spirit into you and you became a living. So, you're a man, you're a living soul. He's a man. You're a spirit incarnating. And you have the power to project that energy. But you confine yourself to the body. And in that, you confine yourself to certain places in space and time. You've limited yourself by accepting the confinement to the body. When you can think right now, from here back to your house. Go to your room. Go to your bedroom. And make up that damn bed. Walk on out the room. Walk on to the kitchen. Stop and look around. This, you are there and you are here at the same time. When you learn to control that mind power, you can send a powerful you, an infant you, anywhere in the world or the universe. In that state, you cannot die. But if they can confine you by pain and suffering and fear to a bed where all your mind are bound to that spot. You are instantly trapped in a space and time. Just the same way, like I said before, where I focused the video camera on you, and I spun around and that light from that. That light would go into that lens and burn itself into the lens, and that light would stay there for a while and gradually fade away. Same thing happens with you and death, but you are an entity. The physical part of you makes the light. And then the soul of you is in dark. That's why when people are conceived, they're conceived while in what state? Light or dark. They think the womb is dark. No man's hand can get his hand out of it. The devil has now put light in the womb. What is light? Chaos. And then he now has light in the womb. He's scaring the babies before they come in the world and introduce them to light. Of course, there's a couple of people here and there try to get a little tab of humanity and you think you know what you're talking about. But the question comes up, what does a master make train the being for? And they say, well, a past master trades a being for the son. That's the making. Master making trades a being when he becomes a past master and replaces it with the son. And he tells him that son's father. Follow that? So now, what state is the world in? Please, don't answer this question. What state is the world in if you need the sun to light it up? Look up there. It's black. Yet there are more suns out there than the one we see. Why is it not lit up? Because darkness dominates the light. You cut the light off in the dark. When you see a person, you know you don't really see the person. All you see is light reflecting off them. Please don't believe dark souls. Check it out. When you everything you think you see, you don't really see. You see light reflecting off of them and it's giving you that thing. You see in darkness. You stay in a state of darkness. And God was in darkness when he said, let there be light. Okay, living light, seeing light, and staying light. You see, that's why it's kind of dinner. Otherwise, you're not sleeping. But when you want to go to sleep, cut it off. When you shouldn't, understand. You should have the light on. You say, I can't sleep, and if the light's on, you will so be made. You should feel safe in God. You feel comfy in darkness. You know why? Because when you are cold, what do? Now you fall up into a little knot, like a little baby, because you feel comfortable. And you know what that is? You know what that remembrance of? When you were in the womb of your mother in darkness. You are safe in darkness. They spent millions of dollars reversing that information to make you safe. Life is safe. God is in darkness. I said, the world is lit up. Correct? Let's think of two places, heaven and hell. I want you to give me, tell me something about hell. What's one of the first things that comes to your mind when I say hell? Fire. Is that darkness or light? So now, who dwells in hell? The devil, okay? And the hell, and hell is lit up by, so the devil dwells in, and the light is the fire, so God must not dwell with the devil, so God must be, light can only exist if kindled and stimulated by things on the physical plane. If there's no oxygen in the air, fire won't burn. Now, can God's fire ever go out? So then God must not be in fire, something ignited. God must go in, not just God, but in simple God. Please say it three times, please, God. That's God, because You exist in darkness. So God's darkness has got to be 3 stages darker than yours. So this, now this is it. Watch it. Can God dwell in earth then? Catch yourself. It's in the Bible. Can God dwell in earth? But when he's in earth, is he in light or is he in darkness? Let me go back to the Bible. And I start, before I go there, by saying that you're conceived in the womb, in darkness. You're in the womb in darkness. God said, right, I put my spirit into man, and man became a living soul. So God placed a portion of himself inside human beings. Really? And human beings walk in this world of life. And God is inside the human being, inside God. So even God in Christ on earth is still in the heart of Christ in God. God never steps into the light. Men step into the light, and the light blinds. Cut out the light. Now check this story. Cut out the light. Put you in the middle of the room. Pitch black. No sound. And your body will move in. You become the room. You become boundless. Put you in a room. That's yourself in. And pitch black and you see no walls. It gives you this. You're in the center of the whole universe. No more. Everything and everybody is evolving around you. Because God is in you. And God is the foot or the center of the universe. So wherever you are, God is. And wherever God is, he's in the center of all things. So if I'm sitting in this side of the room, and you're sitting on that side of the room, we're both in the center of the universe to each of us. That's how well God's name. That's what they mean by God is all places, all times, everywhere. Wherever you are, God is. And God speaks to you too. Whenever you get into the wrong thing, you say, what is a little voice inside? That's a little voice. That's a big voice, nigga. You just don't listen. No, don't do that. Don't take that. Don't smoke that. Don't put that demon on. Don't steal that. Then another voice, your voice, the voice of life is gone. There's 3 cookies, take one. And never even know it. So God walks with you all the time. And Christ says, what is it? Is it not written in your? Because here he is supposed to be a Hebrew and supposed to be an Israelite and he's quoting the Psalm, but he's not referring to it as our, or if he's God, my Lord. He said to them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are God. Hear that? Was Christ God then? He said it right there. Is it not written in your law? I said it. He said, I'm God, and that law is for you. And in that law, I told you, you are God. But all of you are the children of the Most High. Don't get too cocky. Don't get too up in you without putting you in place. And God puts people in their place. Right? I know those people in Turkey are in their place. How many people are there now? 30,000 dead people in one earthquake? Allahu Akbar. That's Muslim country there. That ain't Christian country. All the Muslims in the world have to stop and say, where was Allah? Ain't the kind of Allah who comes from the island. That's an Arabic, where was Allah? Where in Canada, who? That's in Sudanese. Where was he? In Arabic.
they can't tell you. You know why? Because the Muslims started getting cocky. So God has reminded Muslims that he don't have a name that y'all can pronounce. Because if you can pronounce his name, it wouldn't be his name. Because if you can pronounce his name, y'all can stay with me. If you can pronounce God's name, then you would have mastered of the art of God. Even down to the fact that you're able to just pronounce his name and thus gain attention. He would no longer be moving at his own will, he'll be moving at your command. Yes, by virtue of the fact that you know his name. You get it? Now, does anybody? Like I say again, one more time. If you know God's name, this is Sharonda. If I went on that side of him, I said, Sharonda, and you'd be at my command because I threw out a stone that represents you. So you would have surrendered to my call. Right. Religious people would like to make you believe that the way you contact God is that you say, Allah, Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh. They want to make you think that that's how you contact and they touch with God. But if God responded to you, he would be your servant and you not his. He would be responding to your command or your demand. And God doesn't do that. And that's why the Hebrews who fathered the New Testament, which fathered or mothered the Quran, tell you, we don't use the name of God. We don't know it. And in the laws, worldwide, they say the true meaning and sound of God's name has been lost. For that the few that do know it don't dare speak it. Now, who would know it? Huh? Not me. Would God know his name? Don't answer so quickly. Would God know his own name? Because God doesn't have a name. Who named it? And what would be the meaning? See that? Who named it? And why? Why would God need a name? You know why God would need a name? Because some mortals want to make God a noun. Because when they make God a noun, they're able to place him as a person, a place or a thing, and we're not happy about mystery. We're not happy about the unknown. We want to know things. That's an inquisitive creature we are. So we want to name God something that we say, Jesus, okay? Allah, all right? And then I start saying what? Jesus. Then I got to give you a meaning. What does Allah mean? Y'all, what does Allah mean? All this. What does it mean? Y'all have to hang it. We keep typing it down. And that only works as long as hydrogen was a lighter down. But how the scientists have come to the invention that hydrogen is not the lighter down, then God don't have a name. But God don't sum up to anything. He doesn't sum up to anything. He is not to be weighed. He is not to be labeled, placed, confined. God is not. God is what? That's who. God is where? Yeah. God is who? God is. And when mortals try to place God in any place other than the doctrine that exists before life and after life, God in his mystery moves to a limited world in an unlit heart. You. God moves to this world in you. Father, is that where? only if he told you where you were. But then it would be there. But where there was together. But where is there? There. But if it's in you, anybody else, then you can't become a there, and therefore you cannot make it anywhere. Women, God is. You are naturally linked to God. You are part of God, and God is part of you. God, some say, is love. Right? Imagine that. Imagine the embodiment of all love for everything, every kind of way in humanity. And then imagine if God loves you with countless ways. You know what I mean? If God is touched through compassion and concern, the weight of his touch through compassion and concern would crush you. He would crush you accidentally because he loves you. If he is power and his light are getting energy from the universe, channeled through wires and lit up, if you ever touch God's hand, my God, you are in for the shock of your life. The power, you can be electrocuted by that one. A man that can touch into the soul of all the energy in the universe. Don't get me wrong. You know the funny thing? You wouldn't go anywhere. But there's really no way to go where you're not. You won't be what you are when you're the problem. Your friend, he does not need us contemplating on this level. He needs to have us contemplating on the level of God is in my image as the Lord Jesus Christ, and he looks like me, and he's coming back to say, that's where he needs you. He doesn't need to start expanding the power and the glory of God to all the physical conversation. He don't need that, because you'll start to make a list, and you'll start to snap at some of the things that you said. And then he'll call you crazy, because you'll look at things that people are mad about and will laugh. But you say, how could it happen if God didn't want it? How could it happen if God didn't want it? So everything that happens is the will of God. You say, well, what about the devil? Well, where did he come from? Who made him? God. So the devil is the will of God? Why? Huh? Balancing? To what? Balancing to what? I've been mad because God is calling you according to doctrine and theology. God is good and the devil is bad. The devil is not equal to God, so they're definitely not bad. Because God predates the devil. Now, is that not true? So the Bible is the devil is man. And the God is man. The good of you is the Bible of the devil. The devil is out for you. The devil can't test with God. Go read the book of Job. Go to the book of Job. When the devil got before God in the book of Job, he was what? Humble. God said, where have you been at? Which is very thing. Which is like the very thing God had to ask somebody where they was at. Where you was at? And he answered, I was walking to and fro in earth. And God didn't wait. God said, wait. He's not watching all things all the time. Right in court, after what I've been taught all my life, that I might be not being right. I right now, God might be doing something else. I say, that's an angel, and not looking at me, and I need him. But I might explain why maybe fall out of witness if God don't catch that. That might be the answer. God don't have full attention on you. Now, why wouldn't God have full attention on you? Because God is in you, and you're not keeping the light of God out of the dark to watch this world. You have cut off the light. You're not conscious of the presence of God in you. You are afraid of that reality, but with that reality comes responsibility you don't want. You don't want to be responsible for all the stuff that's taking place in the world, God. So it's much easier to put God off in a remote place, out of reach, and do something worse. You hear me? It's much easier than traveling inside and finding the seat of God inside and letting it work its way out. It's so much easier, or so much secure for me to say, no, God is up in heaven. And when someone says, where? How far? Don't blast you. Don't keep questioning God. God is just beyond question. But he said he put himself in me. Is he in me if he said it? If he said it, and he said it, then he's in me. So when you see me, you I think I heard a man say, when you see me, you see God. And they love him for it. But when I say it, I'm laughing. If you say it, say the same. God said, no, I'm not God. I'm not you. You see God. Boy, you crazy. But I can go to the Bible and Jesus said, if you see me, you got to let me say it. What happened? The manifestation of devil's power on earth moves through us, controls our emotions and our thinking, and has clipped the connection we have with God inside, making us look for God outside. And looking for God outside is limiting God, because it's saying he's in a specific place somewhere. And they call it a place. And yes, he's in heaven. Have you ever went to a dictionary and looked at the word heaven to find out what it means, really? No. Most people have it. Heaven is not the description of the word haven. You know what that is? A marina. You know what a marina is? Where ships dock. So when you say heaven, you're saying a place where ships go. Look it up from here in the dictionary. So you say God's in heaven. He arrives there. From where? In what? You know what they're talking about? They're talking about their version of God leaving earth and ascending into heaven. They're not talking about God the Father. They're talking about God the Son when they speak of God being in heaven. I'm going to tell you why. You want to know why? Because God would not be in heaven. God would be heaven. Because if God was in heaven, God would be inside us. And God cannot be confined any one place at any given time. He's too powerful for that. But his son can, and his children can, and he can be everywhere in each and every one of you, but not solely in you, nor was he solely in Christ. And that's why the Christ said, all of you. He said that don't overstand that all your children of God, all your are God incarnated, the life of God, the breath of life, I believe in the man that in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the same was in the beginning, with God all things made by him, without anything made, he made without him, in him was the life of the man, the life of the man, the life of the God, boom, John chapter 1. What does it mean, though? In the beginning was the Word. Someone spoke the Word. And there's no reason to speak a word if someone else is not listening. If you go in your room with the intention of taking a shirt or a blouse out of the dresser, don't start with the kitchen bed. I want to go in the room and take the shirt out of the dresser. I am taking the shirt out of the dresser. I have the shirt. I'm going into the bathroom to put the shirt on. The only reason why you would do that is if you said to your brother, listen, I'm going in the room to get my shirt. Don't bother. Don't be in the bathroom. I come out and go in the bathroom to put my shirt on. That's why you have a word in the beginning of the conversation, talking to somebody. But when you raise the question, God talked to him, he said, nobody. But God was alone in the kingdom. What about talking to angels? Well, that would have then you have to say the angels were created before men.
Well, what?
Okay, so the God of the angels and said, let us make man in us. Yes, what else did he say? Let us make man what? So the man is the image of God in at the same time. So now which part are you now? What part are you now? Are you right now the God or the image of angels? Because I breathe into you the breath of life, and you became a living and cold and cold death that the Holy Ghost is a spirit for a ruach or message of God. Right? God's spirit brings the messages from God in the form of the Holy Ghost, symbolic of God. So that you are really in what you are. You are really in a soul form as we. He said, well, yeah. What am I doing here? And this world is lit up. You are a fallen angel. You just don't want to admit you fell from grace. And you are in hell. Right now. And it's worse. Say, this is hell? Tell me, God, what makes this hell? Okay, right? Let me get in the middle of this. What makes this place hell? Who is this? God. Now remember now, there are so many that you created forces in God. One created gathering in heaven. God created man in his image after his likeness. Thus man and woman are in the image after the likeness of God. And what God does is capable of doing and does is capable of doing, or they're not independent and after the likeness of God, they're alive. Now which is it? The Bible says that in the image after the likeness of God, or you are in his image and have the power of God, or you're not. What's it? The Bible says you are doing what? So that God didn't have it. And God is awesome. And God is Adam, and God is cancer, and God is heart attack, AIDS, God is, Did you say, oh, you said that? You said that for Do me back there a little bit. You said silence, not for silence. But God must be keeping section too. Because man is a man who is in the likeness of God, who is responsible for the malfunctioning part of the man? At what point did man stop being God in his purity and become God in his degrading, decrepit, falling apart, all things break down, just hold over? Where did it happen? When did the pain of our lives come in? For God, God has already. It came in when you fell from grace. That's how you know you're in hell. Because you start off with this stuff. She is as healthy as she can be. Her bones are good, her eyes are good, her teeth are good. She's a piece of candy on it. And speeding up the process. Her organs are all good and healthy. But then, what happens? They start to chill.
Back. My name is Dr. John Christie. I've been a student of the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York, for 10 years. And in those 10 years, I've been exposed to nothing but undisputable truth, from the Nubian Islamic Hebrew, to the Ansar Allah community, to the Holy Tabernacle Ministry, to the ancient and mystical order of Malachi Zadok. I've been through all the schools of higher learning. And now, I'd like to introduce the man of our time, the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York.
Thank you.
About the lecture is don't buy the hype. That was all hype. All the screaming and the yelling was hype. Because when you shave away all the hype and all that synthetic support, you get right back down to, he said, nothing that I didn't say before him, that I didn't say, my book didn't say, the father, those who are leading didn't say, they had nothing new to say. And that's the test of the time. We're a new day of time, so the new day of time has something new to say. Out of bad condition with the same bad information. The information has got to upgrade itself in order for you to upgrade people. And Noble Duali as a prophet was had a point, it made sense, and it lifted them to a certain level. Noble Elijah Muhammad had a point, it made sense that day and time, and it lifted them to a certain amount of level. You know what I'm saying? Even Clarence 37 X. You got it now. 37 X. He had it and it lifted them up. But now what? We're still talking the same stuff. So, and it's obvious, because he even said that there's no racism, it ain't about people's color, everybody, he said, I'll die.
Right.
He even said, get away from that God thing. And when he started blaming God, and I like to comment if you go in here today, he didn't talk about Farad at all on Farad's birthday. Elijah Muhammad's son, Ishmael, Bainetta's son, he did a Farad thing. Other ministers did it when they got there one by one. But he did. He did not give Farad no props. Because I know he's smart enough, but he can't get around those books. So he's going to have to answer a question, and he can't. And all the people sitting there had their books in the back of their mind. Not that anybody in there or his diet, but some of them were dying to eat that garbage. But the ones who want two will sit there, and they will listen with that, with those two books in their mind. And two more coming out. Back on that job that you saw me put on them tape, and just like me, your mother had to wear that upright six-pointed song weapon when according to the song, you're supposed to represent a certain phase of the moon. And that's the, that phase of the moon is supposed to be what they refer to as the new moon, this way. And they were differentiating their crescent and their star, so you take it, my imagination is wrong, from that which Noble Duali brought out, which was there. And they could say, well, his representing him, though, his representing the city, and I was representing the new. But they didn't have back then a moon like this. They didn't have that. That is not in your book, the upright presence. I brought the upright presence into existence before nature born into existence.
That is not your national, not your flag, not your pendant.
That is known as our symbol. Everybody knows. You know why they know it? Because they never saw what they refer to as a Jewish star and a Muslim crescent. They never saw it before. The high-ranking Freemasons saw it, and they were the folks who on the street now. You know what that means?
Right.
And you say, you? And walk on about your business, but they and no one else ever introduced a six-pointed star and upright crescent to Nubians until 1970 when I presented it to the world. As a sign of the ever-living, the living, the true and living God. As they look in the book, and they look, I can say, this is the symbol of the true and living. Now leave the God out. But I wasn't taking a position until the time was right. And when I say true and living God, I mean, like the brother said, you can walk up to your God and talk. You walk up to him and say, I got a question for you, God. They can't do it. They can't walk up to Farah, they can't walk up to Clarence, they can't walk up to none. You understand? And if I move on to the next life, then another God steps in place. No such thing like nobody coming after me because I'm so great, nobody ever defeats me. That's not how it works with us. When one Pharaoh steps down, another Pharaoh comes in. That's all God means to Pharaoh. But when we make this declaration that we're God, what upsets you, fool, is you keep on taking our definition all away from the hands of our community. I would tell y'all, stop judging my religion by your religion. Stop judging my interpretation by yours. You stop reading our book and think you know what we're talking about, fool, instead of just asking me. We say, God, we ain't talking about your God, you know, if I said it, you win. I'm talking about when you look back at Sumer, when you see those deities on the wall, they are God. When you look back in Egypt, you see the deity on the wall, they are God. That's the kind of God I am. That's the kind of God I'm looking at. That's the kind of God y'all forgot your work. And that's what they want to make you think when they say that idol works. And don't even define the word idol. What is an idol? The word they use in Arabic is mithala. Like, they don't even have a word for it. Mithala is the root of the word for idol. What is it? If you idolize somebody, then doggone it, Master Prophet Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad are idols because you all idolize them. You got a big old picture on the wall. So if you take him out of proportion of life, if you made it 1 inch larger than him, then you have now taken an expanded God. So what's the problem? We don't have no problem with you calling all night, Mama God. We know you, God.
Right.
We have a problem with you trying to make us worship a group. Something you cannot do. Or don't have, we don't have a problem respecting Clarence 37 or 13, whatever you want to call that. But we're not going to worship the dead. You don't worship the dead. You respect the dead. You honor the dead. And only those dead people that did something is entitled to respect and honor.
Right.
Those that haven't, they're buried with respect and honor, and everything about them is buried.
Yeah.
But those who have done something and made a mark, have affected our lives, we respect them. We respect the mosque. And always will. Our mosque. If y'all don't want to be your mosque, they need our mafia. We put them in our bag with the rest of our children. Y'all want some Gulama Asa, some Pakistani? That's your mafia. That's fine. Y'all want Master Brahma Muhammad call your mafia? That's your mafia. That's fine. Why we all can't have our own mafia? Y'all got our own shoes on, my foot at the same time as yours. As long as we don't stand toe to toe, you all ain't got no problem. And you obviously, y'all don't want to stand toe to toe with me on what mafia is like. But I wrote a whole book on how my mafia is the true mafia. I can see y'all. I ain't write a book on yours, so you won't. You know what I'm saying? So that's the bottom line. Is that we are God. We're reflections of God. We're an image of God. We're the likeness of God. If that bothers you, then hey, you just have to live with your problems. You say, come and go. Get it cured. Get the carry, cut out, get a shot, but do something. But don't interfere with me, nobody is legal. You can't explain to me or prove you got a toothache anyway. I know you got a toothache. By toothache, I mean, I know there's stress in what you're teaching, but I can see it in your eyes. I can see a lack of confidence while I watch that tape. I don't watch that tape to watch their mouth. I watch that tape to while their mouth is moving, that sound is coming out. I want to see a baby. that's what they're saying. They didn't know what they're saying. And anytime anybody starts talking about God, they don't know what they're saying because they cannot prove it. If I talk about a car, I can prove it. If I talk about this punk, I can prove it. If I talk about the compass and the square, the actual compass and the square, the actual punk, the actual car, I can prove it or take it to one. If I can't, I'll make one. Those are the principles of being confident and being in truth and being right. But now when I start trying to convince you that you are wrong if you don't believe in some unseen God and give you a complex and try to make you feel guilty because you're the kind of person that says, I don't mind, you look good feeling that way, but I just have a man that wants to know. That may, I'm a different kind of being. You can call me the devil. You can call me anything to make you feel comfortable because I want to know. I just want to know. Is there anything wrong with that now? You talk to me about Allah. Tell me about Allah. Can you explain this thing to me? Don't say God is here. Get all that. And the worst thing you can do is run over to the Quran, a book written by mortals, if not written by mortals, recorded by mortals, stored in the subconscious or conscious mind of mortals. All imperfect, like you said, a wobbling crowd, a wobbling mind. Your mother ain't gonna go to the Quran and say, listen, the Quran says, Allah says. Of course. The Quran was written for people like you that want to use the word Allah. Of course the Quran is gonna back up Islam. You go to Jehovah's Witnesses, they do the same thing. They got a whole bunch of books that back up Jehovah's Witnesses junk. What about the universal truth? The universal truth would be to strip the name of Allah and tell me the meaning of it. And your scholars can't do that. El Ilah or El Rahu. Or they don't even know what it means. You asked one the other day, some 5%. I believe in Allah. What does Allah mean? He said, huh? The word, not, you know, not the attribute, the word itself. That being attributed to the being of force, the source, the person, or whatever, or the fox, the cookie. Whatever it is that you're calling Allah. What does the word first mean? They can't tell you. Put some divinity in law and say, what does the law mean? The God. What happens if the Germans never created the word God or good? Then what would you say it means? The Turk, the French, the Guillaume, the Spanish? What would you say, man, if we need all these other languages? Drop everybody else's language, brother, and tell me what the law means. Now, what would happen is, if he could speak the Arabic language, he would start giving you a commentary of the law. In Arabic. That's the only way you can explain the law. Because the law is an Arabic word. You can't explain the law in Arabic word in English. You would be translating. The bottom is you'd be moving away, trans. You'd be going away from it. Trans, you'd be going away from it because you cannot capture the actual meaning. The bottom, so now who's trying to pull me in? It makes you think if a person don't believe in God, then they're a devil. If a person don't believe in God, brother, don't believe in the devil either. Don't let them carry that. They come together. Because you wouldn't be nothing with the God unless there was a devil. Because there'd be no purpose for your God if there was no devil. So y'all need the devil as bad as y'all need your God. Because what would a religion be without the devil? What would be the purpose of Islam if there was no shaitan? What would be the purpose of Judaism if there was no hasatan? What would be the purpose of Christianity if there was no dragon? You follow through, you ask the Muslims, do y'all need the devil? You better have the devil, but if you don't, you have to close your mouth and stop Mecca. Because the whole purpose of going to Mecca is to, I wouldn't be sad. Then I'll say, come on, buddy. So Shaitan and everything he said. In your salah, you're praying to Shaitan. When you eat, you're praying to Shaitan. I don't want Shaitan to take my food. Not only men, we don't say God is a wimp. Only God and the devil is a wimp. That's a wimp club. And all these things, they get locked in one world ideology. And think you got a monopoly on the whole world got a big problem. Meaning, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity is nothing but one ideology on the planet. You don't know nothing about the depths of Hinduism, Buddhism, and philosophies and a million other philosophies or doctrines or religions that don't have nothing to do with your concept of belief. You only sound powerful because you're in a country that was owned and ruled and lived on by a group of people called Washita or Tulip, from the ancient Allman, the God who did not believe in that God, and the Christian concept came over here with, people who are Portuguese brought the Christian doctrine over here and spread there, and then later on, Judaism came over here, and then later on, Islam came over here, but the indigenous people of this land, the natives of what they call Americans, didn't know nothing about your God, and got wrecked that the All-Mass is existing 900 years before Christ. Here, right on this land, America, 900 years before Christ, they're digging up heads right now in Mexico called Anachronism. And there they find traces of a people that look just like you before the year 570, when Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was born. Before Jesus was born. You understand that? We got a life and a culture that goes back way before that. We were called Moors by race way before Moor was synonymous with Muslims. They were Moors before they were Muslims. They were called Morenos before Muhammad was even born.
Right.
Or Moors, the French way, before Muhammad was born. If I'm saying somewhere along the line, Islam bit its way into Moor. And now you got a bunch of people walking around saying, I'm a Moorish scientist, and raising their hands on Islam. You don't realize that Islam is taking away from the greatness of being a Moor, because Islam was born in Arabia among Hindus and Turks calling themselves Arabs. And there was no Middle East. Look at the map again, and then say Middle East, a circle of say it. I don't know if it's working. I mean, think about Middle East. Where is that? You do it. Go to a blackboard anywhere and do this, make a compass, and put Middle East there, right? How can you be a Middle East? And this is west, and this is east, and this is north, and this is south. How can this be the Middle East? Now, we know of a thing called the Far East. That's the Far East. This would be the far west. This would be the far north. And this would be as far south as you can go. As far west as you can go. As far east. But there's no such thing as the Middle East. There's no such thing as an Arab. With natural roots, you will not trace Arabs to natural roots. You'll trace the people back to a man called Dotan, which will go back to Hebrew. But you will not find Arab as a race. The word Arabia means automobile. And the word that Arab means to roam about, to move.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't exist. There was no such thing as Saudi Arabia. That oil over there is ours. Our land extends from California to where? The Persian Gulf. There was no split. There was no red or green sea. That's a natural threat. The Atlantic Ocean did not exist. I showed all that back in the novel. All those pieces fit right back in. Play on down through South America. There's no such place as Puerto Rico. That just means that when they got there, he said, that's the richest port I've ever seen. So how now are you going to say that Puerto Ricans are poor people, and Puerto Ricans are minorities, and Puerto Ricans don't have nothing? And when you say Puerto Ricans, you're saying they're rich. Simon Amorite says, you Puerto Ricans, he's saying, you people from that rich port.
That's right, that's right.
You say, well, what happened to the riches? What happened to the people of the port? Puerto Rican. Spaniard, Boston, took it. Took the image of the Moors. Because we had Moors in Morocco, Moors in Spain, Moors in France, Moors all across Europe. Moor was what they called you by race. That ain't going to be a Nubian. Had a Nubian or Hebrew. Moor describes your race. Moreno. Black. People from that black soil. Quran says it. Man was created from the dust of dust of the ground. So every time they try to change the meaning of Nubian and say, well, Aswan from the word Aswan, black, does not even deal with the people there. It has to do with the soil of that place. Well, fine, because the people in that place who walked in that place 5.1 billion years ago walked alongside of dinosaurs in that place and left their footprint in that soil. And if your doctrine means the Torah and the Quran and the New Testament right, that man was shaped from the dust of the ground, then it was the black dirt of a swan and shaped the skin of the man anyway, so it still covers the man. You are more. The modern science temple is relating to it from a Islamic standpoint of view, from a Moroccan standpoint of view. Bring out a Moroccan flag, not a Moorish flag. You with me? The Moroccan flag is red with a green star of Solomon, the sacred seal of Solomon. Came into Morocco by way of that's where the word Moor, M-O-O-R, comes from. That's a French way, Moor. You don't know what they were called in their language. Because if I walk up to you and you're from the modern science temple of America, whatever nicknames you didn't add on or change into what you go for all this, and ask you to speak the language you spoke when you was a Almat, or speak the language you spoke when you was a Wachita, or speak the language you spoke as a Tunis, you can't. And Arabic is not that old. Arabic goes back again into biblical languages. Arabic again goes back into Genesis 10. And we know that that is two verses away, or two chapters away, from the Emirates. Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 gives you the Emirates, and then the what they call the most eloquent writing, the Gilgamesh epic, which covers the north, southern, and from the victim. And then you got on 7, 8, 9, 10. And then you start talking about Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic, Akkadian. And then you got to get into 11. You start talking about Chaldean. And not once we mention Arabic. But Arabic is a dialect of assurance. You know, so y'all got to get at that too. Oh, but that's a Jewish star on there. The six-pointed star ain't no Jewish star. Someone lied to y'all. And you lied to yourself. Because you told me that David was a Muslim. You said Dawood in the Quran was a Muslim. So now Dawood was a Muslim when you saw a brother from Ansar al-Allah with a six-pointed star crescent on his hat. And that star is known as what? Molden? The star of David. Then why would you tell an Ansar? Why are you wearing a Jewish star? That was a confession that David was not a Muslim. Plus, nowhere in the books of the Old Testament does David ever refer to himself as a Muslim. Now you say, well, Abraham nicknamed you Muslim. That's Quranic again. That came up between the years 610 and 631 when Muhammad died in 632. You cannot go to a new book and tell me about old things unless you tell me this book is an old book being retranslated. But you're not saying that about the Quran. You're saying it's a final revelation. Something revealed for the first time. When 99% of it is obviously not the first time here. Everything from prayer, walking, talking, eating, sacrificing, circumcision, and everything else was taken out the Torah. But because you claim that it wasn't, and this is a revelation to Muhammad from cover to cover, and you put yourself in a bad way. But you got to then show me, not in the Quran, show me in the Tanakh, in the Torah, where Abraham called himself a Muslim. Show me in the Torah, where Moses called himself a Muslim. And if you say, well, Shalom is the same as Salam, then why did y'all create Salam if Shalom already existed? Shalom Aleichem was good enough. Now, Paul didn't talk about that one second. Then you know this. What does Assalamu alaikum mean? What does it mean? Yeah. Well, listen. The word alaikum means what? On.
Aleikum means on you all. Ale is not through you. It's not in you. It's on you the way that a bush or that tahdiyah or that emma is on your head. This ain't close. It's simple. But it was tricky. Some demon got into it again. Understand?
Yes.
If I say to you, salam, peace, aleikum, I'm saying peace on you. I'm not wishing you peace. I'm not saying peace through you. The peace does not feel disgusted in your heart. The disgust is not in your body. The rock is not in your head. It's out of the rock. On the body. So when Muslims greet each other, it's a subtle trick. That's why I got shalom out of it. Rock it back in. Because I tell you, assalamu alaikum. The peace be all on you. You don't need peace on you. You need to be in a peaceful state. Wa alaykum salam. And on you, peace. Or ma salam. With you, peace. With, like, with ma in Arabic. It's not with, like, in your character. That's anger. That's with, like, to accompany you somewhere. That peace walks beside you. Maybe that's why so many of y'all get hit by a car. Because so you get hit and the peace gets away. From the window. We have not heard of that in 1400 years. How come nobody in all Islam has ever said, you know, assalamu alaikum does not really mean anything. It's to help you. Just makes peace be on you, on top of you. Like I put a glass on a metal piece of table. I put a book on a desk out of Mexico. Is that real? And I put the print on the book, it would only be on the cover. So you could, if you say, and I love the Quran, the truth is on the Quran. You would not be saying the Quran has any truth. All right? Now, if you read the Baqarah again, the first couple of verses, you're going to see that Allah, 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 Allah will be in. A feel on their heart, but they translated it in. Deception, hype. Everybody knew we were coming.
Right.
Nobody knew it. Everybody knew this day and time was coming. They were calculating and we were calculating. And we're the best calculators. Because we have worked it out. But that is not no Moorish flag. That is a Moroccan flag. Unless the Moors they're talking about are Moors that fall under the government of Morocco after the 17th century when that flag got there. And when Dus Ali, was teaching Nojua Ali, Dus Ali was not using a Moroccan flag. Because also Marcus Moses Garvey was also taught by Dus Ali. And Marcus Moses Garvey introduced a red, black, and green, which was originally black, red, and green. The flag as found in the Sudan, the flag of the Mahdiya, with a spear and a crescent. That was the flag, black, red, and green. And all of your revolutionists throughout America, by whatever group or sect, are popping up the Mahdi flag. And don't even know. They got all these very black ones, you know, these red, black, and green flags, all of this snapped off. The spear and crescent would symbolize the warriors of the Hadjadawa tribe that came down from the north to defend Sudan from Lower Egypt, actually, because the Mahdi was from the Hadjadawa of the Nile, a place. That was a place. The one called Dongalawe, that's a name after a place. If I'm called Nubian, I'm named after the place. But what am I by race? More. What is my nationality? More. If you're going to be Asian, you're going to be Afro-American, you're Morris American. He said that that part, right? But he got to separate that doggone Islam from it. Because we go back before Islam. All the pharaohs were Moors. And if you go to Europe and you read in any of their books in Latin, you follow? Don't let them. We got to stop letting them call Moorish brothers Latinos who's not speaking Latin. We got to get away from that too. Got another one in Roman trip. Like Negra and Negro, which I showed y'all in the Bible. The Greeks were calling us Negroes. If all that, the Romans were calling us Morenos. Jesus was called Morenos. You know that in most Latino families? Because the mind had been a mess with the parents would tell them, don't be no lady Moreno.
That's right, I'm your son.
Say no different than your mother saying, no one hang out them low like niggas. The same principle. But somewhere along the line, they made more synonymous with low life. So we got to reinstate that. But we got to make it clear to the modern science temple, we are your brother, but only as far as the truth.
Tape, Inflammation versus Misformation were recorded from classes given this year by Dr. Malachi DeYork, known to us as the Supreme Grandmaster Naya Malachi Zoduk El, our own Pharaoh, Amenubia Ru'akatar. And now, listen with an open mind and heart as our Grandmaster inflames you with only the truth. Allow your inner light to flow again and stomp out misformation with only the facts. And now, listen to the Supreme Grandmaster Naya Malachi Zoduk El.
About 2 weeks ago, you were talking about the story of Moses and Pharaoh, and you were saying that everything that Pharaoh did, I mean, that Moses did, the Pharaoh had somebody to do it too. You were talking about the staff and the serpent. He said that's not what it really represented, so I want to know if you could tell us what it really was they were dealing with.
Well, the serpent in ancient Egypt was a symbol of power and authority. Moshe, as they call him, Moses, couldn't even leave Egypt without marching forth with a staff with a serpent on top of it. It later became a symbol of evil. A snake was not a symbol of evil in our culture. This was put together by those who grasped the Bible and turned the word Nahash into serpent, when the word Nahash simply means whisperer. Just like the Muslims grasped the word Hanas from the word Nahash. And it would have been too broad to say anybody that whispers is a devil. Your father, especially in the lodge, where people whisper in each other's ear the secret word, that whispering transaction of the master mason to the fellow craft would be interpreted by some critics in the Christian belief as, if they understood the Bible, as a form of serpent activity, because the serpent is supposed to have a hiss. Yeah, so what happened is they had to change it from whisperer to snake. And then, of course, they supported with on his belly shall he go. But for the rest of the days, when they keep getting it, that's an admission that he was on his feet first. And they don't have on their records in their history a period of time when snakes were walking. Though they go back to Babylon and they see on the wall a picture of a serpent with legs. But that period is called prehistory. So he only deals with history, those things that happen on this side of things. You
phone then. And so it was considered a symbol of power and authority in ancient Egypt, right? Yeah, in the back. Should be hard to hear you, but I'm gonna try.
It says that
started teaching. See, what they were doing, they were creating the expectation philosophy. The expectation philosophy breeds people not getting up and making things happen right now. Islam teaches it, Judaism teaches it, and Christianity teaches it. Expectation philosophy is, I am expecting my Lord and Jesus Christ to come one day and solve all the problems. So meanwhile, you can kick me in the butt. I'll just turn the other cheek. Muslims are saying, enough for Allah, he was blessed. One day this help from Allah is going to come, and that's going to be our victory. It's either expectation philosophy, unrealistic. And now that the power of nature, of which all of them agree, has something to do with the creation of human beings insofar as they'll say in Islam, well, man was created from mud. Correct? Or dust. That's earth. There's no place on the planet earth where you can walk over and grab a handful of dirt, put it under a microscope, and not already find living bacteria. There's no place where you can find dust and put it under a microscope and not find living bacteria. So according to the Muslim world and the Christian world, when God created man from the dust of the ground or from the mud of the earth, God wasn't creating the life. God was creating the body. The life was already there in the dust and the mud. Because again, I say, there's no place on the planet where you can grab a handful of dirt and put it up under a mic and you won't find some type of living bacteria. Even 6,000 years ago. Or better yet, 4,004 with the Christian calendar calculation. You follow what I'm saying? Life was already there. Who put that there? Who created that form of life? What they're saying is shaped and formed. Fashioned and shaped. Man or mortal of the dust or mud of the ground. But the life was already in it. That is working with nature. That nature had already provided life in the mud. Life is in the water. There's no water anywhere where you can put a tube of water, take it and put it under a microscope. What will you see? You'll see life again. So if God took the dirt and the water, life and life, water, female, earth, man, that's why earth in the Bible is called Adam, male. Male and female created he, them. Woman is the water, man is the earth. They've got it backwards. Put them together and form mud. Two forms of life came together there. Or two forms of matter that contain life were brought together for a greater purpose. You follow that? That was nature at work. They can say or imply that if God reached down and did it with his own hands, they feel like. But then we'll get into it. He had hands. Well, no, he didn't have hands. He just willed it into happening. He thought it, and the mud came together and started to shape it. So he had a preconception of what it would be shaped like. He has a mind. No, see, God don't have to do that. See, God could just imagine things like kun, fire, kun, think, and into existence they come. What do you think, sir? So if he has to stop to think, there's a point when he's not thinking. If he has to think of the concept, the idea idea of creating a human being, he had to say, I'm going to let us make a man. So what was he singing the day before that? What was he thinking before he thought of creating man on behalf of mortals, I mean? Was he just there by himself? If nobody else was there with you, what would you be thinking about? If none of the things you understand or understand have been created yet, what would you reflect on? Could you have an active subconscious mind? You understand? Could you have an active subconscious mind? A subconscious mind is when you store information. Could you have an active subconscious mind to store information before information was formed? With me? What was this God doing? What was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing before he said, let us khalaqna al-insana min whatever? Because the Quran changed what means mud, means clay, then it's water, then it's from a single male and female, then it's from a chronic and gentleman, whatever prophet or poet wrote it. What was he thinking, or what was he discussing with his wife the night before? Oh, I forgot. He doesn't have a wife. And he doesn't have any children. So he was sitting somewhere with his hands. It had nothing to do with the hands. So he said to himself, let up. Holding up his hands. And created his own trinity. Let up, me, you, and me, make a man in our image and after our likeness. And he went and shaped the mud and then said, and he blew into man the breath of life, and man jumped up a living soul. How long? How long are we going to be believing this crap? When are you going to give this back to him and laugh and say, nice, who's coming? Just like you go back to the video store and you turn back in videos, it's time to turn back in the video called His Story. Say it was a nice story. Thank you. I rented this video. I took it home. We watched it. It impressed me. I had moments in it where I believed it. It ended. The time came up here. Because as the sister asked me, what about all these tornadoes and things? Because their book of Revelation didn't tell them about that. Their book of Revelation tells them, wait for the craft to come. What about the people that are getting whipped up by nature right now before Jesus gets back? They go to church Sunday faithfully. But tornadoes don't pick Friday nights to come or Monday morning. Tornadoes come. And they didn't prepare us for that. That's why you're asking. It's happened all over the world. They're flooding in London. They're flooding in Germany. They're flooding the tornadoes. The volcano that's been dormant for thousands of years just erupted. They didn't prepare us for that. But have you noticed that it has not really affected us? That we are where we're supposed to be. it would be bothering us. If we are in the wrong environment at the wrong time with the wrong people, I don't care whether it's a bus, truck, or plane. I was talking to a lady yesterday in the store, and I said, I don't know about all this flying, because, you know, 9 planes came down last week alone. She said, hell, a plane could have fell on somebody who was on the ground. I said, that's true. And then of course she was like, you don't have to be in a plane to die. What about the people that was on the ground when the plane came down? I said, that's the reality of it. That's true. So nature is doing this. You know why? Because it's our time. We should not be worried. Rain, most of y'all would have kept sitting here. And we're going to start it smelling like dog, either. Every year, Madrid. It's our time. We work with nature. You with me? The Bible, the Quran, and all of those silly little books, that video we rented from them. Some 2,000 years ago, we went to the store and said, yo, let me get that video on a wife's daughter came to earth to save everybody. We took that video home called a video for our Lord Jesus Christ. We popped it into the video recorder of our heart. And we sat there and we absorbed that crap and we've been waiting ever since. If you're Christian, you're saying, you shouldn't be talking about us like that. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about fools. If you was a fool, you wouldn't be sitting there. You came out here to find out, what about that video, Jesus Christ? A whole bunch of Muslims popped in a video called Muhammad the Arabian Prophet is the answer to all the Negro problems. They slide that video in their heart. A whole bunch of Hebrew Israelites in Israelite church took another one and said, we are the children of Israel, and Yahweh is the answer to all the Negro problems. And they split that video inside their church. But the video ends, but time don't. Christianity is going out. Islam is failed. Judaism is gone, but time hasn't, and we have withstood all the crap, and now we're saying, okay, tell us the truth. Movie's over. Tonight's movie had a little drama, had some lust in it. Read the Bible. It's got sex, it's got what? Violence, it's got all the things a good movie has, any Steven Spielberg and stuff. But it's over. It doesn't apply to us no more. And now Mother Nature is showing everybody on the planet who's the boss.
Yeah.
The baddest military in the world. They couldn't do nothing about them tornadoes. They went through military bases flipping planes. Whether it's in China, they think they're sophisticated, or Russia, who thought they were sophisticated, or America, who thought they had sophisticated military capability. Mother Nature goes to Air Force with tornadoes and flips over planes, topples boats or massive ships. People are walking around the street now thinking they did not have the answer to any force other than themselves. When they got fed up with the God principle, they went into the self principle. But a force steps in and says, you may have given that video back on Jesus Christ, that video back on the Muhammad crap, but you still got to deal with the breath of life. You follow that? And what do they do? They remind you that you ain't as bad as you think you are. Because you worry. You worry your house might be next. And all the crosses and the crescents and all the brands and the bottles in them houses, churches be getting snatched up by nature. Nature don't come down the block and look at the Baptist for the Pentecostal church and say, well, I'm just going to leave that one alone. Nature come down the street, knocks up churches, bars, discos, health bars, hospitals. Nature doesn't respect crap. Nature only respects nature when it responds. And we're in the same time where they're trying to suppress the reality that nature is at work. And there is no more room for the crap, the tribute, or the silly religion of expectation. You know how long you've been waiting for Jesus? Everybody here has a relative, more than likely, that belongs to one of the monos, God of ignorance and arrogance, if you look it up. One of the monotheos, the Greek pluralization for God theory, one of the monotheistic religions. Your grandmother or great-grandmother believed that Jesus is going to come save her. I remember hearing Herbie W. Armstrong on television, The Plain Truth, say, I know I'm going to live to see Christ return. He's dead. He didn't see his kind of Christ come. The kind of Christ Christianity is looking for. This is the expectation religion. You understand what I'm saying? I want you all to get that in your head so you can kick it back out there. You got to sit around in the world of illusion. Muslims in mosque making salah, a victim to Allah. Every now and then, my text fell off. Still, they go to Mecca and die. Still, they plan a plan. Look at this. They plan a plan, and Jesus plans a plan, and Jesus is the best of plans. Insofar as the plan that the Arabs had in New York last week to blow up the building was a broken, right, block by Christians. Christian FBI ran in and shot two Muslims up and stopped them from doing their bombing in the name of Islam. Is that right? Was that on the media? Are them niggas laying up in the hospital with bullet holes in them? Is the bombing stopped? So instead of saying they plan a plan and Allah plans a plan and Allah is the best of planets, you got to change that around now. You got to say, we plan a plan and the FBI plan a plan and the FBI was the best of planets. The FBI is more powerful than Allah. Because the Muslims did not succeed. That they were moving in the name of an all-powerful, unstoppable God. Could anybody have stopped that? No. Would the old sheikh be in jail doing life if he was following his God and his God was a good God and a powerful, all-knowing God? Would his butt be in jail doing life in America in a Christian jail? Would his father be in jail? Hello? You don't knock. Hello, wake up, Muslims. Your God is dead. Your God does not respond to you. You get no help. There's no knock to the law anymore. Now, if you pick up the Holy Quran and you start to read it, you might hear Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make me feel good. That he got help from Allah. When did it stop? You know what I'm saying? If you read the Islamic studies here, histories of Islam, and trace it all out, you go back 1400 years ago, and the Prophet Muhammad, according to their writings, got help from Allah against his enemies. Right? When did it stop? Why is Lebanon a parking lot now? Lebanon was an Islamic country with some Christians in it. They fought the Christians, they lost. Lebanon was a parking lot. When was the help? Masanasullah. And Muhammad's answer was, in the name of Allah, Kareem. Surely the help of Allah is near. Well, it wasn't nowhere near Iraq when Saddam Hussein, who is a Muslim, was fighting against the Christian world, the U.S. of faith. Where was Allah? And when Kuwait was getting ready to get attacked by Saddam, the Muslims in Kuwait did not run into the mosque and fall. The Muslims from Iraq, from attacking Kuwait, they didn't call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Women, I'm going somewhere. The Saudi Arabians, they didn't call on Allah. Who they called on? America. American troops is over there teaching them how to fight. I thought the Quran says when a Muslim is in distress in battle, Allah sends help from heaven. Angels are supposed to come down to help you. Unless you try to tell me it's the American forces over there are angels. I don't understand why you Muslims are depending on American forces when you support these ones, by the way, let me add. Alcohol drinking one. Because Saudi Arabia has to put aside a certain neighborhood in Saudi Arabia just for the alcohol drinking, pork eating, naked dressing Americans over there. Where is the help? Hello. You mean you said, when did it stop? I'll tell you when it stopped. It stopped right after the Ba'ath Rasulullah. Right after the Prophet Muhammad, when they suppressed the family of Ali, when they suppressed his daughter Fatima, when they toppled pure Islam, and they introduced this crap that they're shoving down your throat today called Sunni and Shia and Ahmadiyya and all this other crap, when Islam in its pristine purity was destroyed, before it was a religion, when it was still a way of life, when it was sent to, as a salvation to a backward people in Arabia. You understand? When Muhammad was raised up amongst them to save them, speaking their tongue, receiving a book in their language for them to pull them on up into the future. That's when it was pure. But it stopped the moment the desert Arabs got involved. And when you look on television and you see World D. Muhammad, I know you love him. I love him too. He's my brother, but he's from you. He got hit in the head with a rock, boy, I ain't got no sense. He's always, and almost all of you Muslims out here are always surrounding yourself with desert Arabs. I don't never see World D. Muhammad. I don't never see Minister Louis Farrakhan around no Nigerian Muslims or no Muslims from Somali or no Muslims from Sudan or no Muslims from Ghana or no Muslims from Senegal or no Muslims from France. They're always around Pakistanians, Saudi Arabians, a whole bunch of what the Quran told them to watch out for. El Arab, desert Arab, they call the most deceptive. And when we as ancestors refuse to sit down at the table with them and do what Farrakhan just did, you understand? I refuse to let them come to me and put a turban on me about my way of life. Say, get out of my face, junk. I had Islam before you knew what Islam was. Before Muhammad was born, we had Islam. You know what I'm saying? Now you're going to come and try to ask me, well, I want to join the Islamic Council with a bunch of confused Al-Arab, a bunch of Hadith-following fools. And I have an answer, I say, hell no. You got to go. And Muslims, black-skinned, woolly-haired, picky-haired, fuckweed-ass niggas with tabis on, got mad at me because I don't want to kiss no Arab butt. And I must not, he must not be a Muslim. He ain't want a whole ass law, he's a co-father. They're all in my private life. But I don't want to fall in the trains. I said, I'm hanging out with Sudan. And I picked Sudan over Nigeria because I can overlay this crowd in Sudan. And everybody here with nappy hair, the wavy hair, the light skin, the dark skin, the long nose, the wide nose, the brown, the black, the beige color skin would fit in Sudan without any racial problems. Unfortunately, if you went to Nigeria, some of y'all, they'd be saying, You look Nigerian. Others, they'll be saying, what are you? But almost most of y'all got mistaken as a Sudanese as an answer. People say, are you Sudanese? Tell us where you had roots. And I didn't say roots, I said roots. So when did they lose the power? They lost the power when they suppressed us. When they cost Fatima her life, when they sought out to kill Hassan and Hussein, the sons of Ali and Fatima, and they killed the Prophet's family. That's when they lost it. And the fools that are in Islam now are demons. When did Christianity lose its power? When Paul went and followed Jesus' disciples, you with me? When he fabricated his own doctrine, when Paul was a self-proclaimed disciple while walking on a roadside by himself, said, I had a vision, and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, but he proceeded to call himself Paul. You tell me that God, the Son of God, talk to me, the Son of God in flesh calls you Saul, but you call yourself Paul? If God called me banana, Head. My new name would become Banana Head, and I'd be proud of it. But Paul says he met Jesus on the roadside, so it could not be confirmed by the special disciples of Jesus, only by a handful of people who wanted to listen to Paul. You understand? They lied on Jesus. Where'd it go bad? When the Romans, equivalent to El Arab, the dead Arab, got into that religion, which was not Christianity. There's no such word as Christianity. Jesus never heard the word before in his life. Christians are being taught in church to call on somebody who would not respond. The boy's name was Yeshua. Yeshua Ba'el. With me. And that L is on the end of Gabriel, making him a Moor. He would have never known who you were talking about. So that's where that died. So now, these videos you sell us are rewritten stories that I'm supposed to accept on what you call faith and live in a world of expectation until I die. Jesus is coming. My grandmother said Jesus is coming. My great-grandmother said Jesus is coming. And on the other side of my family, there were Muslims, and they were saying the same thing about the Mahdi and the Messiah, the Messiah. He's coming. Generations passed, and he did not come. Believe you me, there's fools in church right now saying, today on Sunday, Jesus is coming. They still believe it. Jesus said to and thank God, you see me in a little while. We're 2,000 years away. Jesus' concept of a little while in most people is real different. Muhammad said, surely the help is near. In the mouth of Allah, he called even. Surely the help is near. Muhammad said that 1400 years ago. Muslims are still getting beat up. Starving. Christians are starving. They want to hide Jimmy Swagger. Now you ain't hiding Jimmy Swagger. Pull Jimmy Swagger out of here so we can talk about him. Jimmy Swagger had a whole population of us believing that he was right. Jimmy Swagger had his hand in somebody's pocket swagging the stuff out. He got caught in a hotel with some old girl. Now you want to hide that that's Christianity. Can make another one. You feel it with me? You want to hide that Jim Baker was all homosexual, stealing money from people in the name of the Lord. All I'm saying is, why should I trust you now? Why should I trust any more of you? You understand? Farrakhan changed a million-man march into a million-dollar march. Sticking the money in his pocket. Why should I trust Farrakhan? I can't question him. I can't question a preacher without you getting mad at me. Let me ask your question, minister, some questions. The CIA handles it. You want me to ask you a good question? Want something new? Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it, huh? Let's do it. This is a new one for you. That's a bad Christian attitude. I know you recognize that as him. Right? I know you recognize this one as Midrash, correct? Who was Ham in the Bible and who was Midrash in the Bible? Talk to me. Huh?
loins of Noah, according to the Bible, there was a great flood, and the whole world, except for Noah and his family, was destroyed, drowned. Is that correct? Everybody on the planet Earth was drowned in Noah's time. This is what your religion teaches you. You're walking. Now, Noah, as they say, became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Three sons. Right? After the flood, there should be nobody on the planet now but Ham and his family. I want you to get that in your head now. Everything else is dead. Drowned. No more, there's no civilization, nothing. Okay? This man, Noah's son, Ham, with the Egyptologist, Ham, with the Egyptologist, the thing they know they talk about in America, they're calling chemistry. You with me? They're just one of the sons of Noah. And our last son, Mitzrayim, who becomes known in Nepal as Egypt. Mitzrayim in the Bible, in the Christian Bible, look at any strong concordance type of Egypt, and you'll see the word Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim is one of the sons of the sons of Noah. And nobody's on the planet before them. You with me? Then we go to Genesis chapter 10. And walk Genesis chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12. And you're going to find out that there were seven generations of people between Mitzrayim and America. Terah was the patriarch of their religion. They say Abraham didn't know nothing about Christianity or Islam. His name was Abraham. Terah is the father of Abraham. Are you with me? Only seven people lived between Mitzrayim, who was a part of the family that landed on the ark on Mount Ararat over in Turkey. No plane, no train, no car, foot, camels, and donkeys is the way they traveled back then. I lived there. You just believe it. They had to travel from Turkey all the way to a place that did not exist if the flood really took place and everybody who was on the planet was dead, right? So they went over to a place that didn't exist, and a boy named Mitzrayim, who was a descendant from Ham, settled over there, and it became known as Egypt, which they say in the Bible is Mitzrayim, or Muslims say Muslim. You with me? Seven people. Look at yourself. Your mother. Your grandmother. Your great-grandmother. Your great-great-grandmother. And your great-great-great-grandmother. Seven people back. Go back from Terah to Mitzrayim, which usually comes out to be six people. Now, Abraham, the son of Terah, traveled eastward on a journey, the Bible says, and goes into the land of Egypt. And on his way in there, he encountered a Pharaoh with great power. Yeah?
even in Egypt when Abraham got there, who wanted to take Abraham's wife, wanted to take Abraham's wife. And Abraham gave her up because he was a punk. Because he was a chump. That's the only reason why he gave his wife up, because he's a punk. You understand? I can leave it. Real is real. But let's get back to that. So, 7 people from Mizraim, and Mizraim was the first there after the flood, and he set up the whole empire of all Egypt and his 36 dynasties, built all the pyramids and his things, all the offices, all the pylons of Babylon fell, and all the different goals, the designs, the concepts that they do not find in Israel, they do not find in Noah's time. The whole thing of Egypt, chemistry, alchemy, he did all that in 7 generations before Abraham got there. And by the time Abraham got there, that this massive big empire was so powerful that a Hebrew prophet had to humble himself before those people. You get where I'm going?
Yes.
There ain't no way in the hell they could have built the great Egypt with 7 families. No way possible. Somebody's lying. Either the Abraham story going down there is a lie, or there is no Egypt. Now I know there's an Egypt because I can go to Egypt and see Egypt. I can't go to Abraham and see Abraham. I can't go there. But I can go see Egypt, and on the walls of Egypt I'll see you. You with me? In your Bible, your God acknowledges the greatness of Egypt. Because your God sends the greatest of you to Egypt for protection. He sent Jesus there. And said, Jesus, go down there in Egypt and stay there until Herod is dead. He sent the best of the human beings upon the Euphrates. Amongst us, pagans, forsaken. Abraham went down there because the land that was supposed to be sown with milk and honey that his God told him would be an everlasting covenant in that land. The everlasting must have went void, and God must have lost control of the elements because a famine came into a land that was supposed to be an everlasting covenant and a land flowing with milk and honey called the land of Canaan. And it got cut off. Read your Bible. And then did God tell them, go down to the pagans in Egypt, Abraham, because they had. You with me? Moses, the father, the literate, or the scholar, or the recorder of the record of the law, called the Torah, was born and reared in Egypt, educated until he was 40 years old in Egypt. Their God, who controls all things, put the man who was to write their scripture not in a Hebrew environment, but in an Egyptian environment. So he can come out of the Egyptian book of the dead and write his poem to God and his people. Why? Because if it's true that Mizraim was the son of Noah, then Mizraim was also an original Hebrew according to your doctrine, which is wrong, but there was no such thing as Hebrew yet. So when Abraham went to Egypt,
He was not going to see a new people. He was his uncle's people. There was no new religion. The people of Noah forgot the religion. Obviously, Mr.
Radio.